Okay, Romans chapter 8, folks. My favorite book. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Good morning, Eva.
Good morning.
I appreciate you speaking to me today. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and some of my favorite scriptures. Look down at verse number 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, talking to Christians now, I want y'all to get that in your mind. He's talking to Christians. If God be for us, God, did you know God's for you? Amen?
Amen.
Who can be against us? Amen. Be he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all who believe in him. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things, whatever we need? He don't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. What does justifieth mean? Say that again so everybody can hear it. Amen. Now you think about that verse and that word. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Us is the saved. Amen. Christ is interceding for us that have trusted him. He's interceding to God the Father. Boy, that, isn't that great, folks? Amen. Amen. Let's talk about things that the cross of Jesus Christ has did for us. You ever thought about it? That got on my mind the other day. You know, when I don't have any thoughts about what to preach on, I just ask the Lord. Amen. Did you get what I sent? Okay. The cross is more than about Jesus dying between two thieves. The cross is more than that. It's more than about he was innocent of any crime. That here's a man that died on the cross and he had done no wrong. It's more than about that. So let's think about what the cross was all about, because without the cross, all of us would be eternally separated from God, our Creator, according to the word of God that I believe today. Without the cross and what took place on the cross, if that hadn't happened, we'd be eternally separated from God. Now, we're living in a time when people, and you're hearing this a lot today, we deserve this, we deserve that. Listen, truth be known, we don't deserve anything. Because as humans, we have all sinned against our Creator. We were born sinners. We come into the world a squalling, amen? Especially you, Vashti, you were squalling. And she's been squalling ever since. Amen. First, let's think about we were separated from God. Let's get this image in our mind this morning. God sitting on his holy throne, and no human is connected to him. No human is interested in him. I'm continually disturbed when I look at the news today and they're talking about the people in Texas and the people in Florida and Louisiana and other places down in the Caribbean. They're not talking about God. They're not talking about, I wish God would help us, or we're calling on the Lord. There's nobody talking at that at all. You know why? People separated from God. They don't know God. They know about God. They know about God. And that's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. Spiritually, they died. And then all their offsprings that has come into the world down to you and me today, we were dead in sins. Our spirit is dead. You don't know God. You can know about God. There's a lot of people in churches today that know about God, but I'm afraid they just got religion. Isaiah 59:2 made it very clear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And now we're getting a lot on TV by the news media and politicians and all. I'm praying for you. But it's just an after remark, seems like. That means we have no relationship to God if we're separated from God. That separation was greater than the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and all the oceans combined. Our separation from God is total. And we can't do anything about it. We're in a pitiful shape. And if God had not sent the Holy Spirit and he given us his word, we would remain separated from God and die to be eternally separated from God. Do you hear anybody concerned about being separated from God today? No, they're not concerned. You look how proud that little man over yonder, that little fat man over is in North Korea. He is so proud. He's got the world by the tail. Thank you for helping me. All I could think of was the horn. He's got the whole world by the way he's situated over there. Do you think he's concerned about being separated from God? All he's concerned about, he hates America so bad. He just hates us so bad. So that we are, man is, every person is the same way, separated from God when he comes into the world. He stays that way till he gets converted. By hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that who Jesus is and what he did. That he died for my sin. I got to believe I'm a sinner. And if you don't believe that, you're not saved. And you're not going to get saved till you believe that. That we've all broken the law of God. Secondly, we were dead to God. Not only separated, but we were dead. I was down at the funeral home not long ago. And I walked by that casket. That person there didn't say a word to me. He was dead. People are dead to God, folks. Dead. That means no relationship to God. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, a man let sin come into this world. The devil didn't bring sin into the world. Did you know that? Man did that. Our ancestor. And death by sin. Did you notice in the bulletin this morning all that I put there about birth and death? So death passed upon all men, and you are waiting right now for the grim reaper to come get you. We might stave him off a while, but he's going to finally get up with us. He's going to get up with us. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. We're all in the same group. Sinners, dead in sin. Can't do anything about it. And what's worse, we don't want to do anything about it. When you hear about you're a sinner, you don't even want to go to church. Weren't there times you didn't want to hear preaching? Huh? Be honest. Why? It makes me feel bad. That's what it's supposed to do. It don't make me feel bad no more. Since I got saved, preaching don't bother me no more. But before I got saved, I dreaded to go to church because I felt so bad. That old preacher, and when he get on that subject about judgment, I knew about that. I bet you've been like that. People may know about God, but no one knows God till they get saved. It's by our spirit made alive that we gets to know God. Our spirit is dead. That part of us that can know God is dead until we're made alive unto God. A corpse does not have life, and we were all without life until we are given life eternal. We get life eternal by repenting of our sin. That is, asking Jesus to forgive us, be our Savior. And in instantaneous, not gradual, but instantaneously you're saved, made alive, become a new person, and you begin to love the things of the Lord, more to please the Lord. If that hadn't happened to you, you need to get saved. You need to get saved if that hadn't happened. John 3:16 is the one verse in the Bible that's all you need to know. God loved you so much, sent Christ to die for you, that if we would believe in Him, believe in who He is, believe in what He did because of me, we would have everlasting life. We were dead in our sins and we were satisfied being dead. We wanted to do what we wanted to do. And how many times have you heard people say, you might have even said it, well, when I get older, I might start going to church and trying to live better. I've heard that so many times. What if you don't get old? What if you don't have another tomorrow? Then you die in your sin. And what you know about the Word of God will further condemn you. Thirdly, all believers in Jesus Christ are made alive unto God by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and begins to draw us to Christ, convict us of our sin, convict us of our need for salvation. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1 states. In Ephesians 2:2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. The word quicken, when you were dead in sin, hath quickened us. He's made us alive unto God. We were dead in our sins, not knowing God. You know, that's another demonstration of God's love for us. He sees us as dead in sin, and yet he still loves us. God's not saving people because he loves them. He's saving people by his grace when they accept who his son is, what his son did for them. Fourthly, let's talk about this a minute. We were reconciled to God. Remember, we were separated and we were dead. We were made alive. And when we were made alive, we were reconciled to God. We were brought back in a right relationship with God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Reconcile means to restore friendly relations between two parties. We can be friends with God when we have been reconciled to God. You know, that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is, folks. It's people reconciled to God. That's who makes up the Church of God. The Church of Christ. Reconciled people. Who've been made alive. Who've been quickened. Who've been brought back into a right relationship with God. Without the cross of Jesus where our sins were judged, we would still be separated from God. Think about this, folks. There was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people when Jesus was nailed on the cross that saw that. God put it on public display. His only son. A bloody mask. Innocent of any wrong, in word, thought, or deed, or intention. Innocent. Yet he was dying for me and you, taking our place on a cross, being humiliated, being rejected. Have you ever been rejected by anyone? Amen. Don't it hurt? Do you like to be rejected? No. Christ was rejected by his own people. By his own people. If that he might reconcile us both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. To wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19. The cross is where God judged sin, all of our sin, the sin of all the world, folks. Think about the billions of people that have lived and all their sins have been paid for. But think of how few have accepted the one who paid for them. That's sad, isn't it? They didn't want to be saved. They didn't think they were a sinner. They weren't a bad person, maybe. But that's not what the Word of God tells us at all. And I just want you to think of and appreciate the cross as we think about our thoughts today. It's the cross Not that wooden object standing there, but what occurred on that cross. Who was it hanging on that cross? You know, there was a cross on each side of Jesus with a person on each side. Did you know they didn't accomplish anything for us? Only that cross in the middle accomplished anything. Where God's Son was at. This is God's grace to mankind, His unmerited favor, because God didn't have to save anybody. He could have ignored Adam and Eve and let them live and died and been forever separated, but He didn't. Fifthly, all of the demands of God's moral against us have been satisfied by Jesus on the cross. Did you know we've broken the Ten Commandments, God's moral law? We even broke the first one, all of us. God said, don't you have nobody more important to you than me? And we've all failed there. Amen? I think of the people down through the centuries that have had little idols that they worship, little objects or statues. Those things are more important to them than anything. That's their gods. Egypt had thousands of gods. They had a god to the frogs, to the crocodiles, to the River Nile. They had a god for just about everything. But folks, there's only one real God. He's the living God. And He's a God that loves us so much. And He proved it at the cross by sending His only Son to take our place and pay our sin debt. In Colossians 2:14, boy, this is a great scripture. You need to have this verse marked in your Bible. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Everything that's been charged against you and I as believers, every law of God that was against us because we were breaking it, it was been nailed to the cross. Isn't that awesome? God has took care of us, folks, completely. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. How we've failed the Lord. How we've broken the law of God. It's all been nailed to His cross. And He was judged in our place. Folks, I tell you what, this thing of the gospel of Jesus Christ is amazing. What wisdom of God to devise such a plan of salvation. And what a merciful God and a God of grace that God would accept allowing His Son to take all these charges against you and me, and He let His Son satisfy God Himself. God's let His Son satisfy Him in our behalf. And there's nothing left to be charged against us. Our sin's all paid for, folks. Amen? Now, what about when we sin today after we've been saved? Well, if we sin after that, it doesn't condemn us. But as one of God's children, then as our Father, He disciplines us. You won't get by with doing wrong. I won't get by with doing wrong. Because as God's children, He will chasten us in the way that He knows best how to chasten us. But the Bible says if we'll judge ourselves, He won't have to chasten us. Isn't that good news, Brother Chavis? If we'll recognize when we do wrong and ask the Lord to forgive us, many times we won't get that discipline. Is that not a gracious Heavenly Father? Amen. 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 You know why that's possible? The cross. Because our condemnation has already been paid for. That sin that condemned us is forever satisfied in the sight of God. But as God's children, we're not perfect. Now, let me say this to encourage you. Your salvation is perfect. Your spirit is as perfect as it will ever be. It can't get any more perfect. No, there's no sin in your spirit. But in our flesh, we can do wrong because we tabernacle in a fleshly body of sin. 6, did you know man is the enemy of God? Boy, we're poor enemies, aren't we? What can we do against God? And yet we're in the sight of God, we're God's enemy because we're against him till you get saved. May I say that? Till you get saved, you're an enemy of the Lord. Oh, somebody would say, well, listen, I don't bother the Lord. I just live my life. Hey, you're God's enemy. You're God's enemy. The Bible says in Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, the carnal mind is enemy against God, that unsaved mind. We're rebelling against him. We're going our own way. We're warring against him. We don't want to do what he says. But Jesus and his cross changed all that when we accept his death, burial, and resurrection. We've then become, instead of children of the devil, we become children of God because of the work of the cross. Isn't that great? Because of the work of God allowing his son to take our place. You see how important the cross is? Where God is dealing with sin one time forever? God won't ever have to deal with sin again that condemns mankind. God is satisfied now. He's dealt with sin through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, what a savior. What a savior we got that was willing to go through what he went through to satisfy his Father in heaven. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, by the blood of his cross. Think about how God the Father must have felt looking down on his son, his flesh torn, bleeding, the pain, the humiliation, the rejection, the hatred and the anger against him. Think about how the Father must have felt. Yet the Father was willing to do that to rescue me. Me, you. Amen? You're important to God, church.
Yes, sir.
You're important to God. And don't you ever forget what God did for you. Seventhly, let's think about this. What God accomplished by the cross of Jesus is given to us by faith. By faith, Brother Chavis. By believing. Think of this. All God asks is for us to believe in what he has done for us by the cross of Jesus. You haven't got to go out and work to get salvation. You hadn't go out and accomplish something. You hadn't got to go out and be so religious and pious like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No! You can be made right with God by faith. By believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Isn't that awesome? The cross has made this possible because sin was judged there. And God has said, if you'll accept my son that took your place, paid your debt, I'll make you my son. I'll give you life eternal. You will live with me forever, 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 forever by believing. You know what? The first time you heard that preached, you didn't believe it. Faith sounds easy, but it may not be easy because self is so dominant, right? We don't want to give up, right? We don't want to let somebody else control what I want. But it's by faith to those wise enough to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 states, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Listen, even our faith. Even our faith. When you accept Jesus Christ, we talked about this at prayer meeting the other night, didn't we? Even when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have become an overcomer. You've overcome the sin that condemns you, and you've received life. But we could be victorious overcomers day by day as we live by faith and obey the Lord. Amen? And if we live an overcoming life day after day, we'll be rewarded one day. Not only for we've already been given salvation, it's already ours. We're already saved. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded for how well we serve the Lord. How have I lived as a Christian? That's going to happen to all of us. What kind of wife have you been? What kind of husband have you been? What kind of Christian have you been? And more will be questioned about how faithfully we serve the Lord. Hebrews 12:2, I love this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith, and he's going to finish it one day. Amen? Who for the joy, think about this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Christ hanging on the cross could look on the other side of the cross because it was going to only last a few hours. He could see you and me who would accept him as our Savior. That gave him a joy. Amen? That was the joy before him, seeing you saved. Seeing you saved. Seeing you living with him one day because of all he endured in our behalf. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Hey, folks, listen to me. We keep saying it. It should be repeated. We've been justified. We're now as if we have never ever sinned in our entire life. Why? the cross. The blood of the cross of Jesus Christ has made us as if we've never sinned. And people out there will say, well, I'm as good as them people at the church. True. But we've been saved. That don't make us better. It just makes us God's people. Amen? We're going to heaven. Amen? And they could go too if they'd believe on the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Did I get to go home now that I'm coughing? Eighth, listen. And lastly, all we have discussed is possible only because of the sin debt's been paid in full by the death of Jesus Christ. These points I've been making with you this morning is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. How important that is. We're selfish. We're stubborn. We're proud. Rebellious. That's human nature. And our heart is deceitful, the Bible says, above all things. But look what Jesus said in 1 Peter 2:24. Peter writes this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Think about all your sins was put on Jesus on the cross. That we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That term there, by whose stripes you are healed. A lot of people take that to mean physical healing. Especially your holiness type churches or Pentecostal type churches. That verse is not talking about physical healing, folks. That verse is talking about spiritual healing. Healing of the soul. Our soul is sick. And Jesus healed it when he saved us. Amen? Isn't that good? Now, when we get our new body, and I believe that healing is in what Christ accomplished on the cross, our new body won't be sick. We're going to have a body that's not going to be frail like the bodies we got today. We have bodies we'll live in for eternity. We won't need a doctor or nurse or pills. God's took care of that for us. In Romans 5:8-9, but God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still a sinner, still disobeying God, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not going to face God's wrath. That's Romans 5:8-9. God's wrath is going to be awful, folks, in the tribulation time. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. When we fail the Lord, Jesus makes intercession to the Father in our behalf. He reminds the Father, we've accepted Jesus Christ who shed his blood. What an intercessor, Jesus Christ, pleading for all of us sinners, saved by grace through faith in him. Our salvation's not cheap, church. It took the death of God's holy Son, who came down from heaven for the purpose of taking my place and your place and dying the most horrible death that there's ever been. Because when he was made sin, there's nothing that can compare to that. He was judged for the sin of the world. And God's wrath came on his only son. That's the reason he screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me? He forsook his only son when he became sin. My sin and yours. He didn't have any. The treatment he received in this world of wicked sinners was worse than terrible. Falsely accused, beat, spit on, insulted, his beard plucked out, mocked, stripped naked, nailed to a cross, rejected. And nailed to a cross between two criminals, insinuating he was guilty like they were. I want you to understand that the sin of the whole world has been placed for, and there is no reason for anyone to go to the devil's hell. Everybody's sin has been paid for. The reason people go to hell, they don't have a Savior. And there's only one Savior. They rejected the Savior. That's the saddest thought that can be said, I believe. There's a Savior. They just didn't want him. Deceived by the devil, the Bible says. The only reason anyone goes to hell is because they reject the Savior of the world who paid for their sin. Their sin was paid for. But they wouldn't accept the Savior that paid for them. 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We have eternal life today. The moment we trusted Christ, we become the Lord's, and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit, and now we're being kept by the power of God. That's pure Bible. Pure Bible. You can rejoice in the Lord today as one of God's children. You can go out and love the Lord and serve the Lord. And call on the Lord. Tell him your concerns, your needs, the needs of others. What a Savior. I can preach to you today. What love by God the Father and God the Son for all of us. What love, folks. How much we're loved. What a glorious heaven is waiting for all who are wise enough to believe in Jesus as their own personal Savior. Folks, heaven is going to be something. It's going to be something. And wait till we see the one that loved you so much. That's going to be something. When we see that, the face, and look into the eyes of the one that loved us so much to suffer like he did. Let's love him. Let's serve him. Let's share him. Let's encourage others. That's what we're to do while we're here as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the cross. Because that's where salvation was brought about by our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for this time, this opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross and all that was accomplished there. And we just praise you, Lord, for the love of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful children of God living in a sin-sick world. I pray in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. As the Lord speaks to heart, or you need to come to the altar this morning, talk to the Lord about someone or about your own concerns, There's always plenty to pray for if you look in our bulletin, folks.